For South Carolina Public Radio and Sonatas and Soundscapes, I'm Bradley Fuller. It was for her collection Head Off and Split that South Carolina native Nikki Finney won the 2011 National Book Award for Poetry. And it was through the acceptance speech for that award that she'd begin collaborating with other nationally and internationally recognized artists on a project which will soon be brought before audiences for the first time. At War With Ourselves, 400 Years of You has been billed as a rhapsodic modern-day paean spun from the skin of history, and this month it will be premiered at the University of Texas at Austin. Prior to that, a preview performance of the work will be given at the Coger Center for the Arts in Columbia. Recently, Nikki Finney spoke to me about how At War With Ourselves took shape, starting with a phone call from Kronos Quartet founder and first violinist David Harrington. She also filled me in on what it's been like working alongside artists such as Harrington and the other members of the quartet, as well as composer Michael Abels, who wrote the scores for the Academy Award-winning film Get Out and Us. Here's the conversation we had. Nikki, thanks so much for speaking today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Could you share about the origins of At War With Ourselves? I mean, this is a work that's a few years in the making.
8 or 9, if you can believe that. 9 years ago, I received a call from David Harrington. He was listening to C-SPAN late one night, and for some reason, they were replaying my National Book Award acceptance speech. And he had never heard of my poetry, had never heard of me, but was so moved to call me the next day, right in the middle of doing laundry, and talked about this idea that he had for commissioning a new piece of work. And if anybody knows Kronos Quartet and David Harrington and their 50 years of commissioning new work from artists from all walks of life across America, then you might have just an inkling of how excited I was to get this call. I don't think there's another person in terms of leading a musical group or a musical group that's been doing that kind of world music, bringing artists together across the globe, that has done a finer, more important job than Kronos. And so we started talking about what this new commissioning might behold, what it might look and sound like. And so that started about 9 years ago.
And this was a project by a different name.
It was a different project, and it had everybody who's involved at this moment, this week, was not there at the beginning. It's gone through a few different iterations, and what I have come to understand is that this is kind of a healthy thing. It's like you're working on something and you're trying out ideas and you're trying out music and you're trying to get close to the bone of the thing that you are writing about. And sometimes people come and go, and that's okay. And then really when I look at having been there from the beginning and looking at who is with us now, the folks are perfect. This is the perfect mix of musician and conductor and all of those things in this moment as we go into the premiere in South Carolina.
Well, the second half of the title of this work, At War With Ourselves, is 400 Years of You. And you just spoke about getting close to the bone. Is it difficult getting close to the bone, you know, making these trends and getting the right amount of text for such a history, 4 centuries and 4 centuries of this particular history? Is that really challenging?
Of course, it is challenging. It's what I love about being in conversation with other artists. It's what I love about being tasked to do this. 400 Years of You has to do with race and civil rights. And, you know, one of the sort of things that I came to understand in this long sort of road to this moment is that we did not start out as a collaboration thinking that we would touch upon the 400th anniversary of the presence of African Americans in this country. That was not the goal. But as we, again, as we worked towards getting close to what we wanted to say and how we wanted to say it, wow, we thought this would be an incredible opportunity to also join the band and join the chorus and join the voices of other citizens of this country who were calling for the country to look at what does it mean about, what does it say and what does it look like and what does it sound like to talk about 400 years of African-American history in America. So that became truly one of the charges that I had as a writer, talking about history, talking about slave ships, talking about Harriet Tubman, talking about the Black astronomer, Benjamin Banneker, talking about the incredible Olympians, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, and how in the world do I bring all of this into a 90-minute musical production, perhaps? And so actually it started out being, in terms of that first iteration, about 10 pages of American history, specifically looking at Black American history. And when I realized that I had produced this, I also realized that, wow, I need to like cut this down to about a third of what I have. So I didn't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I could actually hold on to it because I had created something that was really important to me in all the work and all the research. But I also knew that we started out thinking that I would write a libretto and moved slowly toward the fact that I was more probably going to write an oratorio. And that was also a challenging a moment for me, going from these different musical forms to where we settled.
How much experience have you had working with the musical side of things, especially, say, composer Michael Abels? Did you have to alter your text a lot for him to work with it, or was he pretty intent on keeping the text as it was and making the music fit that text?
Well, in about 48 hours, I'm going to meet Michael Abels for the first time, and we might have to have that conversation. But the conversation we have had to get to this point has so much to do with trust, with artists being professionals, trusting each other to do what we have been brought into this project to do. Michael trusted that what I was giving him was what this project called for. And I let it go into Michael's hands. I mean, you know, Michael Abels' history as a musician is one who works with, you know, concert orchestral music. I mean, we have the scores that he has written for Oscar-winning films, Get Out and Us. And when you have been aligned with someone with this kind of incredible professional aura, you just kind of get out of the way and you know, let the man do what he does. And I was so drawn to his career of blending music, blending bluegrass and jazz and blues and, you know, kind of these, taking these kind of fractured moments of music and making this tapestry of sound that was like nothing else I had ever heard before. I mean, I'm a girl from South Carolina, so I kind of know when to get out the way, you know, get out of the way after I've done what I've done. And that's what happened. So one of the most amazing moments I have to share is receiving the score for the first time 2 weeks ago. I had had a long day. I was sitting at my desk. There was the score, 209 pages. I don't read music, Bradley. This is the thing that amazing to me. So there's the score on this beautiful paper. There are my words, you know, throughout, kind of moving like a train, moving like a through line through the score. And I'm kind of trying to remember Mrs. Johnson, who taught me music, you know, when I was 10 years old, trying to hear the sound and thinking I'm really messing this up a lot, but still trusting that what I was going to hear when the chorus comes together, when the community choir comes together, when Valerie reaches for her baton is something that I don't have to approve of in terms of line by line, note by note, that kind of thing. But the people who are involved in this, I have such respect for. I'm going to be flat out surprised at every turn. And actually, as an artist, I like that.
Wow, that has me just so excited. I'm not even collaborating in this in any way, but I'm just so excited by your excitement.
You know, can I just talk a little bit about Kronos? I just have to say this.
Quartet.
Yes, Kronos Quartet, 50 years of American music, making it a point, almost like, okay, what are you going to do in this life? We are going to collaborate with artists from around the world. We're going to collaborate with poets and painters and gypsy bands. And we're going to play Pat Metheny's music. We're going to play Bob Dylan's music and Jimi Hendrix. We're going to play all this music around the world. And we're going to ask different world musicians to play it. What's your take on it? How do you see these notes arranged? How do you sing these words into the world air? That's what Kronos has done. So when David called me, I just said, this is incredible to be a part of this history of this is how you make music. And then to say, we will collaborate with all of these forms of artistry, and then we will be sure to make a body of music for the young artists coming behind us. That's why they're here in South Carolina. That's why they're at USC to offer master classes in this, to say, we do not make this production and make this music and write these words by ourselves. We believe in a community of musicians and artists who are trying to say, by putting their toes in this ring, that together there's so much we can do. Separated, there's very little we can do. And so this whole notion, this Western notion that an artist, of course, when I'm writing and I go to my desk, I'm here by myself, but I'm also thinking of other music and other words and other people who have lent me an idea that I might expound upon, that I might play music to in my own way. And that's what makes this so exciting.
What do you hope someone in the audience might take away from this performance?
Something new about being human. Something new about all the things that we don't know about each other. I mean, part of this one page that I sent to Michael, and we had this great conversation about, has to do with, you know, when you think about the African-American presence in this country, we always start with, and sometimes end with, the brutality against Black people. And that's a really important subject matter. It has to do with slavery, which we don't want to talk about in the ways we should. It has to do with racism, which we don't want to talk about in the ways we should. But what this piece focuses on is what I call the interiority of Black people, the interiority that allows you, after all of the things that you know over there, to go and design a new thing for the rail, for the train, for the railroad, that will allow the train to run much smoother. So we have in this text things that Black patents that African-American people have created and put into the American mainstream to make American life better. But we never talk about those kinds of things. And so when I was back and forth with Michael about what I was trying to write about, it's like, this will be about the humanity and the great intellectual girth of the African-American community these last 400 years. And so when you say, what do I hope somebody gathers from this, gathers a new story, not the old frame story about who we are and how we came to be, but leaves wanting to, like, do a little research on your own, teach another story to, if you're a school teacher, to your students about who we are and how we came together and what we still have to offer each other. That's not nightly news. That's not where we are situated right now. But that is exactly where music and the arts always take us.
Well said. Very well said. Could you share a few lines of this text? I know obviously the full thing will have to wait, but would you mind reading a bit of what you've written?
You're surprising me with this question. I don't know what I'll read now. Let's see. Maybe, okay. You're going to get a, what shall we call this? We call this a surprise moment in the interview. Okay. Your indefatigable zest and quiet has a 4-century strong heartbeat and pulse. With laws and codes meant to eradicate you, you invented a clock, a better ironing board, a 3rd traffic light, a golf tee, a blood bank that everyone but you could use.
I could listen to you read even more of that, but we'll save that for the performance. Nikki, okay. Thanks so much for sharing those words and sharing your time today, and all best with the upcoming production of At War With Ourselves, 400 Years of You.
Thank you so much for engaging this wonderful conversation.
An interview I had with Nikki Finney, John H. Bennett Jr. Endowed Professor of Creative Writing and Southern Letters at the University of South Carolina. Finney has authored 6 books, including Head Off and Split, for which she was awarded the 2011 National Book Award for Poetry, and most recently, Love Child's Hotbed of Occasional Poetry, Poems and Artifacts, published through Northwestern University Press in April of 2020. More information at nikkifinney.net. And as we were discussing there, another of Finney's projects will soon be on stage. At War With Ourselves, 400 Years of You, is a collaboration among Finney, who will narrate the text she's written, composer Michael Abels, the Kronos Quartet, and a choir of singers from the Greater Columbia area, prepared by Jared Johnson and to be conducted by Valerie Saint-Agat. This preview performance of At War With Ourselves will take place at 3 p.m. this coming Sunday, November 7th, at the Coger Center for the Arts, with a pre-concert conversation at 2 p.m. The featured visual artist for the production is Tyrone Jeter, former Associate Professor of Art at Benedict College. The lighting designer is Brian H. Scott, and the sound designer is Scott Frazier. More at CogerCenterForTheArts.com. In full disclosure, the University of South Carolina School of Music is a sponsor of South Carolina Public Radio. For South Carolina Public Radio and Sonatas and Soundscapes, I'm Bradley Fuller.